From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah 53 and verse 12. He was numbered with the transgressors. Why did Jesus suffer himself to be enrolled amongst sinners? This wonderful condescension was justified by many powerful reasons. In such a character, he could the better become their advocate. In some trials, there is an identification of the counselor with the client, nor can they be looked upon in the eye of the law as apart from one another. Now, when the sinner is brought to the bar, Jesus appears there himself. He stands to answer the accusation. He points to his side, his hands, his feet, and challenges justice to bring anything against the sinners whom he represents. He pleads his blood, and pleads so triumphantly, being numbered with them and having a part with them, that the judge proclaims, "Let them go their way. Deliver them from going down into the pit, for he hath found a ransom." Our Lord Jesus was numbered with the transgressors in order that they might feel their hearts drawn towards him. Who can be afraid of one who is written in the same list with us? Surely we may come boldly to him and confess our guilt. He who is numbered with us cannot condemn us. Was he not put down in the transgressors' list that we might be written in the red roll of the saints? He was holy and was written among the holy. We were guilty and numbered among the guilty. He transfers his name from yonder list to this black indictment, and our names are taken from the indictment and written in the roll of acceptance, for there is a complete transfer made between Jesus and his people. All our estate of misery and sin Jesus has taken, and all that Jesus has comes to us. His righteousness, his blood, and everything that he hath, he gives us as our dowry. Rejoice, believer, in your union to him who was numbered among the transgressors, and prove that you are truly saved by being manifestly numbered with those who are new creatures in him.
Jesus, who's good, has said,
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of these messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each of the 12 apostles. Today he comes to Matthew, also known as Levi. By occupation, Matthew was a publican, a tax collector in the employ of the Romans who then occupied Israel. As such, he was hated by his own people, for publicans used their position to extort unreasonable sums of money from their countrymen. As Levi the publican, he was a greedy, miserable man. But one day Jesus Christ looked upon him with pity and grace. In an instant, Levi was transformed into Matthew, the follower of Christ, who eventually became one of the 12 and authored the gospel which bears his name. Now, here is Dr. Cairns with the introduction of a message called Matthew, Saved from Greed of Gold by the Gift of God.
We're turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke, and we're reading a few verses in Luke chapter 5 as we continue with the studies in the glorious company of the apostles. We're going to read from verse 27 to verse 32 of Luke's Gospel, Chapter 5. "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his word for his name's sake. Verse 27, after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. In the lists of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, with some slight variation, you have the names Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas. Matthew is the character to which we come tonight. Now, Matthew wasn't always the name by which he was known. His personal and family name is given to us. He was Levi. And the family name, he was the son of Alphaeus. As Simon, the son of Jonah, is Simon Bar-Jonah. And Nathanael was Nathanael Bartholomew. So we would say that he was Levi Bar, or the son of Alphaeus. It's interesting that there is another son of Alphaeus in the 12 disciples. We have there a James, the son of Alphaeus. While it is not stated that they were brothers, there is certainly nothing to take away from that supposition, and I think that it is certainly something worth pondering, how that the Lord, in calling his disciples, while not limiting himself to move in families, yet did strongly represent families in calling his 12. But as I've said, the name Matthew, while not the original one, is the name by which this apostle is known in the official lists of Christ's disciples. The word Matthew, I believe, is a divine name given to this man to mark his conversion. Saul of Tarsus is Paul the Apostle. And while you may say, for very pedantic reasons, that Saul was his Israelitish name and Paul was the Roman equivalent, in New Testament terms, Saul was his unconverted name and Paul was the name that marked him as a newborn, totally changed, radically new and gloriously effective servant of God. See, the same is true of Matthew. Matthew means the gift of God. And as you look into this man's life, you find the story of a man, in all probability quite a young man at this time, who one day, by an act of full and free and sovereign grace, was plucked from the depths of human depravity and wickedness, and was given the gift of God. And so great was the grace of God in giving him that gift that it made Levi, the son of Alphaeus, a gift from God to the whole church of Christ. Now, in actual words, we are not told a lot about Levi. It would be nice to have all these details given to us, as we read the life stories of these apostles. But we're not told a lot about Levi. However, in this case, we are told enough to give us a real clear insight into the man before and after he was saved. In Matthew 9, he is called succinctly, and I might even say severely, Matthew the publican. We are told here that he was a publican. But in Matthew 9, this title sticks to him long years after his conversion. Matthew the publican. And that tells us all we need ever to know about the character of this fellow. We must understand what a publican was. He was, we're told, a tax gatherer. Well, now, tax gatherers are never particularly popular people. In America today, I don't think you'll find too many people who pray every day for the IRS and who are great lovers of the tax man. They appear to be, I'm not saying they are, mind you, though I wouldn't say they're not, they appear to be legalized highway robbers. At least that's when it comes to me. Nobody likes tax men. But you know, here we're dealing with tax men who, though at times they seem to exceed their bounds, nonetheless are working within a code of laws. They are exacting taxes at a prescribed rate under circumstances that are supposedly regulated by the law, which is the will of the people expressed through their representatives. That was not the idea of a tax gatherer in the days of Matthew or Levi, the son of Alphaeus. In those days, a tax gatherer was a farmer of taxes. In other words, employed by the Romans, or possibly in this case more exactly by Herod, who himself was under the heel of the Romans. But employed by the Romans, the occupying heathen force that held the Holy Land in an awful grip of tyranny and was therefore heartily hated by all the Jews, a tax gatherer would agree that in a certain area he would present his Roman masters with a certain amount of money. And he usually had to pay in order to have the position. There was then little or no limitation placed upon him as to how he would go about extracting that money. And it was a little bit like pyramid selling, only it was pyramid taxing. And the further down the line you got, the more you had to turn the screw. So that a publican, a tax gatherer, was a very particular kind of man. And I say that because, first of all, for a Jew to become such a servant of the oppressors of his people made him a peculiar kind of person. He had to be a person, first and foremost, who was consumed. I don't mean gently attracted to or normally attracted to, but I mean a person utterly consumed by a love and lust for money. Such a lust that would make him willing to betray his own country, willing to slaughter his own conscience, willing to trample upon all the laws, the religious laws of his own nation, willing to suck his considerable wealth from the blood and the sweat of the poorest of his people. Now, I hope you're getting the picture of what a tax gatherer, a farmer of taxes, would have to be in the days of Levi. And that is what this young Jewish man became. The Bible does not paint all the details of his youthful development, but it doesn't take much of an imagination to see a young man growing up and looking around for opportunity and dissatisfied with the normal and with the legitimate and the honorable occupations that were open to him, with a heart that was greedy for gold and longing for all that gold could buy. He sells himself to the most iniquitous system that a Jew could conceive. He became a truly odious man, a shame on his nation, a shame on the parents who gave him birth, a shame on a family name, and a shame on himself. A man as morally rotten as you'd ever want to meet. You see, the greatest moral scoundrels are not the prostitutes and the pimps who are walking the streets. I make no apology for their iniquity. But those consumed with that inner lust that can break families, smash homes, bring decent men to suicide because of their clever business dealings. They can tramp souls into hell and bodies into the dust to line their pocket. I tell you, they are as vilely immoral and wicked as human beings can become. And that was Levi, the son of Alphaeus. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to call sinners to repentance. This is what he says. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Righteous people don't need a savior. Sinners, odious sinners, depraved sinners, shameful sinners whose lives are as black as the outer darkness of hell, they need a savior. And the Lord Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, even the most odious. And they called Levi.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.